Welcome to The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. We all contemplate making changes in our lives that would allow us to live more authentically, but it can be hard to take action. Allison is here to educate, equip, and empower you with the tools you need to start authentically living life your way. Get ready to eradicate your limitations and destructive patterns as you take full responsibility for your own happiness. This show is not just talk. It is conversation for profound self-awareness, acceptance, and appreciation, the key elements to stepping into the power as the creator of your very best life. The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe starts now.
Hi, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to The Alley Effect, authentically living life your way with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. You can join me the first and third Thursday of every single month right here on Transformation Talk Radio as we dig deep into this concept of authenticity, helping offer you different topics that support you in authentically living life your way. Because we all know, as amazing as this concept of authenticity is, as much as we all want to be able to show up truly as ourselves, it's a lot harder than it may seem, especially in today's day and age. Stay with me for the next hour as we talk about this idea of authenticity, covering yet another area, offering you actual tools, tips, and resources to educate, equip, and empower. It's my mission in educating, equipping, and empower you to authentically live life your way. You can transform through your time here with practical tools and some real talk. Last time, I introduced you to a new topic, the dishonoring P's. And these are the ways that you've learned to show up in the world, probably from the time you were very, very little, putting little pieces of information together, formulating some conclusions, things that you learned to do in order to get by in the world, to draw attention to yourself or to draw attention away from yourself, to stay out of trouble, to gain some type of worth and purpose in the world, some type of esteem or personal value. Most times, people have no concept of what they're doing, like kind of understanding themselves, what they're doing or why they're doing it. Maybe you've learned these patterns as a way just to be nice, to kind of get along with human beings. And maybe these are patterns that were role modeled, rewarded or reinforced in some way when you were younger. By now, it is very likely that these patterns have become very ingrained and pretty habitual, maybe by all rights, even second nature. It might be hard for you to recognize and can't even really imagine knowing how to relate differently in the world. When it comes to, this is the entire topic of the show, authentically living life your way, it's really important to see that these are patterns that are interrupting your path of authenticity. If anything, they're probably aligning you more with inauthenticity, showing up in the world in ways that really are not a true representation of who you really are. We're going to address these patterns, and I want to introduce you to a few more DHPs, and chances are you will recognize yourself in even more of these as we dig deeper into them. Last time, we covered four specific patterns. If you haven't taken the time to listen to that episode, you'll really want to hear the beginning of these and the four patterns that we covered: placating, pretending, personalizing, and perfecting. Four patterns we talked about. Placating, ways that you've maybe learned to mitigate or manage conflict or drama of other people, learning to take on their emotions so as to more pacify or chill them out in some ways. Pretending, and I shared with you about that story about Lainey and the way that she was struggling to face some hard truths and kind of feeling the pressure of her family and her own biological clock, and trying very hard to fall in love with a man that she felt like she should be falling in love with, right? That was kind of a fun story. And then perfecting, and the lengths perhaps that you go to in order to present a certain way. Maybe you wear a mask and you hide any mistakes or flaws that you may have. This pattern of perfectionism and how those unrelenting standards are just really sadly unachievable. And then personalizing and helping you understand that though we may all do this in some way, it's this mistaken belief that other people's behavior is either our responsibility or somehow our fault, that it has anything to do with this. And though normal to some degree, the dysfunction comes in when we start to really assess the extent to which we're doing it. Maybe it's hard for you to kind of shake off what's happened and you become consumed by this tendency to personalize. As we go through those four, just in this very beginning, I wonder, like, can you recognize, is there anything over the past 2 weeks? I really challenged you with patterns of self-awareness and self-responsibility. Is there anything that you have seen, patterns that have started to surface, or something that you started to recognize you would step into and then you started to pull yourself back going, wait a minute, those are those patterns that we were talking about, okay? Keep that tool handy, that self-awareness tool. You will definitely need it as we continue through the rest of these DHPs. So, like, what are they? Like, what are we going to be talking about? These are the patterns that I put together to help you see how you are most likely working against yourself. Those four patterns we've already talked about: placating, perfecting, personalizing, and pretending. But what are the rest of them? I'll introduce you to just a few more: performing, pleasing, procrastinating, proving, pitying, pushing, passivity, pursuing. Now, my all-time favorite actually started as a joke and a haphazard comment by someone that actually became quite an eye-opener the more I've taught this class and offered it online. At first, when I introduced this pattern, most people are a little bit shocked and perhaps even a little offended by the suggestion. Just even the suggestion of it ruffles some people's feathers. Some people are very quick to dismiss it, like, absolutely not. I've never done that. Missing the point behind the pattern. So what is the pattern? We're going to talk about it more at the end, but just to give you a little hint, it's prostituting. Before you hit the off button or the unsubscribe, please stick with me. You may realize this pattern a little bit more as we talk about it. You may see, if you have an open mind, how you may be doing this more than you would ever have thought. So what are we going to talk about next? I've already addressed perfecting. So I want to talk about what I believe to be kind of the opposite of perfecting. Now, a pattern that I think sometimes people will come to terms with the fact that, all right, I can't be perfect, right? And so what seems to happen is that they come all the way over to this side of the scale in a pattern that I refer to as procrastinating. And I looked up a definition one more time, and it reads from dictionary.com: to delay or postpone action, right? Most of us can understand that. To put off doing something. Now, to me, this pattern is very similar to personalizing. To some extent, I think we all do this to some degree. Remember, I said it depends on the frequency and the extent to which we do this. I don't know anyone who immediately like takes action on everything that happens. Maybe there are those people, but it tends not to be the case. We all, taxes is kind of a really thing that kind of comes to my mind when I think about, like, people often will kind of put off the thing that they don't want to deal with. Maybe you're stalling, you're avoiding, or you're distracting. You're delaying the inevitable, right? The thing needs your attention. The problem comes in where this becomes a lifestyle. It becomes such a pattern that it is actually very dishonoring to you. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be a task, a conversation, a decision. It's anything that you are avoiding that is starting to add up. If you, I can almost like hear, I keep hearing people like, well, if most people do it, then what's really the big deal? Well, I can also hear my mother's words of like, well, if everyone was jumping off a bridge, would you too? Right. Like, I'm like, oh, not so much anymore, Mom. Not, probably not. Right. Like, if everyone is kind of doing this to some extent, what is the big deal? And what I find the big deal is the weight of this, right? Procrastination takes a toll because it often will create an energetic, it's a lingering energy of that thing that needs to be taken care of that is just simply not going to go away. It creates this heavy cloak that we have to carry around, or maybe another visual is like this thick fog of which we're trying to maneuver around. It often fuels a deeper sense of just like dread, worry, and even anxiety because it just continues to nip at your heels all the time. maybe it's hard for you to make a decision. You don't really know what to do, so you just continue to delay. This avoidance tactic, though, is sometimes met with this level of magical thinking, hoping that things will just take care of themselves. They'll just go away on their own. And we all know that that actually is really not the case. What tends to happen with avoidance and procrastination is that it makes a not so good situation even worse. It's like a wound that starts to fester. If you don't know this author, there's an author named Brian Tracy, and he introduced the concept of eat that frog, right? Like, ugh, right? Eat that frog. It is his recommendation that you dive headfirst into your day, tackling that dreaded thing first. That very first thing, you actually just eat it. You just eat that frog and you take care of it so that you have the rest of the day to actually enjoy what it is you like to do. The weight of all of that, that monkey on your back, is then just off because you've already taken it, right? You've already handled it and it's already taken care of. I wonder, are you someone who eats that frog? You get in there every day and you just handle things, right? Or are you someone who stalls and avoids and denies? Can you see where the stress of that really starts to add up? I wonder if as we introduce this topic, this idea of eating that frog, if you recognize procrastination as one of your patterns, are you willing to start eating the frog for a certain period of time? Let me know. I'll be curious. I want to squeeze in one more real quick before we go to break. I wonder about the pattern of proving. When you meet someone new or you walk into a certain situation, do you feel this tendency like to prove or establish yourself? When you aren't very sure of what's going on or you feel uncertain, do you tend to become kind of consumed by what other people are thinking and have a need to kind of show who you are in the world? You try to establish yourself, what you're capable of, the successes you've achieved, and all of your accomplishments. I wonder, like, why is that? Why do you feel the need to prove yourself through wealth, success, intelligence, or maybe even sex appeal? Does it go deeper than that? Do you have a need to prove your very existence? Do you feel threatened by the success and accomplishments of other people? So it's important for you to really establish and prove yourself. Proving can show up in a lot of different ways, but mostly it comes through a chronic sense of needing to establish yourself and kind of show people that you're good enough and you're smart enough, that you're kind, that you're helpful, that you're successful, you name it. I believe this pattern stems from those chronic feelings of unworthiness, probably a problem of which you're trying. I think the issue with this is, like, it's kind of like having money. Like, no matter how much you establish for yourself, you always want more. Proving is kind of like a bucket with a hole in it, right? Like, you keep doing, proving, establishing, and yet always you have this chronic sense. It doesn't matter how many followers you have, how much you accomplish, how many subscriptions, you know, subscribers you have, how many friends or accolades you tend to achieve, how many trips you go on. You're always trying to mask the sense of unworthiness. No matter what you do, how much you accomplish, you are always trying to prove yourself. And the irony is that most people would never even know. Most people from the outside, they see a level of perfectionism. That's where these patterns start to overlap a little bit. They see you so accomplished that they just kind of assume. This is really important stuff to kind of look at what you're doing and why you're doing it. So there's one last pattern before we go to break, the pattern of proving. When we come back, we are going to continue to pick apart these patterns, these DHPs, dishonoring Ps. You are listening to The Ally Effect, Authentically Living Life Your Way, with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. We're going to be right back.
Know your own divine magic and extend peace and love to all with Reiki Master and author Brett Bevel. Brett offers empowering solutions with energy healing modalities, magical awakening, and psychic Reiki. Brett's latest book, Healing Racism Within, A Lightworker's Guide, draws on his own journey of growing up in a racist community and healing childhood trauma. For more on the most cutting-edge energy healing techniques, visit brettbevel.com.
When trauma is stored in the body, it can subconsciously affect and determine our life experience. Learn how the mind connects with the body and how you can pursue your own healing and growth so that your light shines brighter than ever. On the Law of Attraction Traction with host, my mom, Corinne Beerfield. Every third Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Corinne and her services as a holistic, heart-centered counselor, visit CorinneBeerfield.com.
We're back here on The Ally Effect, authentically living life your way with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker, addressing the DHPs, the dishonoring Ps. If you are intrigued or if you have questions, you can absolutely head on over to my website at allisonblythe.com so that you have an understanding of who I am, how to be in touch with me, and certainly some of the services that I provide. If you want to send me an email, please do so at allisonblythe@live.com. And you can always follow and chat with me on social media at any platform is Allison Blythe Life Coach. So today, the DHPs, what in the world does that even mean? The dishonoring Ps, the ways that you've learned to show up in the world, that as the deeper we dive into this, you can start to see kind of working against yourself. If we're really talking about this path of authenticity, you can start to see that these patterns move you further and further away from authentically living life your way. So far, we've addressed several. We've talked about placating, pretending, perfecting, personalizing, procrastinating, improving, right? Like we've covered all of those. Drawing your attention to these things is powerful because it allows you to tune in, pay attention to what you're doing, and really begin to assess and clarify whether it's working for you or not. Let's keep rolling, right? Let's keep going at it. This next pattern has two legs, in my opinion. It's kind of twofold the way that it transpires for people. If you're someone who knows how to put on an act, right? You were always working hard to impress others or present yourself in a certain way. Maybe you've lost touch with who you are because you're so busy performing in the ways that people want you to or what's expected of you. You may have a tendency towards this next pattern, which I refer to as performing. Now, if you're an actor and these skills are working for you and they're very admirable and probably well sought after, congratulations. You know, being a performer can actually be really, really fun. It's like you get to try on different hats and different personalities all the time. However, if you are the average Jane or Joe showing up in the world, this is a pattern that could actually be causing a lot of problems for you. Because what I find is that performers do just that. They play a role. They do what's expected of them. They put on an act so that others may think certain things about them, believe certain things, or certainly feel certain ways about them. Maybe you're someone who's learned to play a role. You take things on that you really don't want to take on. You assume roles and responsibilities that do not serve your best interest. And these are the standards and expectations of how you fulfill the roles people want you to without ever stopping to assess how well they serve you and what you really want to do and how you want to be showing up in the world. Maybe other people's opinions really matter to you. You conduct yourself in ways in order to get that attention and approval for them based on what works for them, not really what works for you. Performing is truer to what other people want from you than what you actually want for yourself. It leads you further and further away from your true self, that place of authenticity. And if you're building a path in that direction, this is a pattern that will surely lead you astray. Performance is based on an act. It's based on other people's standards, their expectations of you, and wanting you to behave accordingly. These are things that maybe you've been taught and what has worked in a lot of ways, maybe in the past. But now, as you venture into this authenticity, you can start to see whether or not this is actually true for you. Though you have filled roles hoping to gain the attention and approval of others, you're starting to see how much this is getting in your way. Now, I said this has two legs. That was the first one. The second way I see this pattern show up for people it takes on a very different feel. Like it, maybe you can't really identify with that section of performing, but when you look at it differently, you start to see that, yes, you definitely are a performer because you simply can't stop. You can't stop doing. You are someone who is all the time busy, accomplishing, doing things, managing stuff, running here, running there, always having this sense of having to do in some fashion or another. You don't even really know the meaning of rest, relaxation, or fun. You tend to be the person who is always hustling, moving from one thing to the next thing, and you're trying hard to just keep on the move. You do not know the essence of learning to be still or learning the process of just being, right? You take on too much and you don't recognize how you're using busyness as a way to kind of distract from life in this deeper presence. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself, if this is a pattern, if this is one of those legs that you can identify with, have you ever stopped to ask yourself, like, why? Why am I doing this? Why do I have this chronic sense of doing and accomplishing all the time? Have you ever reflected on what you're doing and why you're doing? As I said, this is really important stuff to consider. Is there something you're avoiding? Is this chronic sense of accomplishing kind of a format of proving, trying to establish yourself? This is a lot to ponder for you. This is a lot of different sections for you to be considering. Are you a performer? All right. Okay, on to the next. This next pattern, if you have this, you will get this as soon as I say it. If you're confused by what I'm saying, chances are you don't have this pattern. If I said something to you like, hey, listen, just lean back. Just lean back for a minute, right? What feeling does that create inside of you? Stop to consider for just a minute. Do you tend to be the kind of person who really leans in? When a situation presents itself, or you really like someone and you have maybe an anxious feeling, or you're uncertain about something, maybe something is taking longer than you want it to, and it isn't necessarily going in the direction you want it to, do you have a tendency to get very, very eager and start to lean heavily forward into situations or into people? I know this might be a very odd question, but how would you answer that? Do you tend to be someone who leans in? Stated another way, do you find yourself chasing after people? Are you constantly looking for acceptance and approval and attention from others? Do you have a hard time trusting, just leaning back and trusting, allowing other people or things in general to come to you? Do you constantly feel the need to pursue what you want? What if you took a moment to just simply step back? Have you ever taken the time to really assess and evaluate your ROI, your return on investment in relationships? Are you the person who is always extending the invitation? You are the one who's initiating the calls, managing the contacts, sending up the activities and the invites. Like, are you always that person trying to orchestrate things, connect with people? You're the one who's doing the planning and the inviting and the including. I would ask you, do other people extend the same courtesy to you? Is the shoe also on the other foot? Then that's awesome. Like, again, if that's working, no big deal, right? But if you start to become conscious that, like, wait a minute, I really don't know as though they're ever returning that favor. I don't know as though they ever do assess that quite the same way that I do. I would encourage you to take for a minute, just a second, to lean back in relationships. Now I want to be clear about this. There are times when I would absolutely applaud, go for it, right? Like if something is exciting to you and you need to take a big risk, you want to make the leap and stick to something because of hard work and determination. If you really are going after something with dedication and high energy, there is absolutely a place, steadfast, eager, unwavering, full of drive. I applaud that level of tenacity. This is something very different. This pattern of pursuing is what I call it, is something that you have a tendency to chase after. It leaves you kind of in this hot pursuit and the initiator of all things with people. I will encourage you to consider, Why are you leaning so far forward in relationships? Why are you the one working so hard to chase after people? If you recognize yourself in any of these, this dynamic and this pattern of pursuing that is not about drive and determination, this energy is actually very different. Pursuing has kind of like a clinging, desperate, again, lean forward, right? Like I lean forward and it almost becomes like really awkward, right? So I keep doing that. Like, oh, you just naturally want someone to kind of back up a little bit. I wonder, do you get this? Is this a pattern that you can relate to? If you have met someone who is like this, it's a person who just as sweet as they may be, they just seem to try too hard. Remember that TTH I talk about, trying too hard. They try too hard to be liked. They try too hard to be nice. Someone who overextends and makes themselves just readily available at every turn. The issue with this proving pattern is that someone tends to have more of a chameleon effect than a really SOS solid sense of self. We tend to be attracted to people who are more solid and authentic. You know, maybe you recognize this person. Maybe you are this person. Do you have a tendency to try too hard to get people to like you, to include you, to find a spot in their life? You have a tendency to chase after people and lose yourself in the process. Do you have a hard time trusting that people will come to you? Are you someone who is really overly eager and you go to great lengths in order to get that attention and approval? The issue with this pattern is that it is very desperate and clingy, and it does not attract people to you. It actually has, it's almost like someone who's too sweet. You're like, it just kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Pursuing typically comes from a very hurt place, a wound of some sort in which you've had to chase after love and attention, and it's behavior and energy that really does work against you because it's just too forward motion with the energy of people. This one is really risky because you end up potentially compromising your light level of dignity and self-respect in so many ways. Okay. If you want an example of this, this is really funny. I know that I think many of us got the news that a couple months ago, the singer Meatloaf died, right? And if you're familiar at all with any of his music, if you want to have a clear picture of what this pursuing pattern looks like, take a listen to Paradise by the Dashboard Lights. Listen to that song and you will get a whole new version of what pursuing, right? Like chasing after someone in order to get love and attention, and be a little illustration for you as we move forward, understanding kind of this pursuing pattern that you may be engaging in that has a very reverse effect. Check that tune out. It's worth knowing whether the pattern relates to you or not. Lots of food for thought that we've covered. It's very critical for you to take the time to really reflect on what we're learning here. My guess is by now you're seeing yourself at least in some of these: placating, pretending, personalizing, perfecting, procrastinating, and now proving, right? So we've added some of these things: performing, pursuing, all of these DHPs, and it's certainly interfering your authentically living life your way. I wonder which one of these that you can really relate to as we spend this time together talking about these patterns. We need to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to, of course, dive even deeper into more patterns as we shine some light in this. I am Allison Blythe, and you are listening to The Allie Effect, Authentically Living Life Your Way. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at transformationtalkradio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit sharingloveandlightshow.com.
There is divinity within you. Join Lisa Belth on her show, The Unshakable Living Show, Supernaturally and Divinely Unshakable, twice a month, and find that divinity that you deserve. Lisa will help you feel encouraged, empowered, and realize that you're not alone on your journey. With Lisa, address the foundation, the frame, and the finish of your dreams and become truly unshakable.
We're back here on The Ally Effect with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. I can't stop singing that Meatloaf song in my head. Today, we are talking about authentically living life your way and these patterns that are most likely and really interfering with your journey towards authenticity. We are covering the dishonoring P's and trying to shine some light on each of these patterns to give you a picture of what might be going on in your world, ways that you've chosen to show up, probably very subconsciously, unknowingly. I would love to hear your experience. If these are things that you can identify with, if you've got questions or you're not really sure, like, yeah, for sure, I'm in a lot of these and now I don't know what to do, please feel free to reach out to me. AllisonBlythe.com is a great way to be in touch with me, learn more about these DHPs. It would be great to know what you're seeing in yourself, any of those aha moments that we all tend to have from time to time. I would love to hear some of those. The next pattern, this too is a very common one, and I would not be surprised if you see yourself written in all aspects of this pattern. Many people were really taught and encouraged to show up this way. We get lots of lessons about being good in our world. I can almost feel the finger wagging, you know, make sure you're nice. Don't you be selfish. Be mindful of other people, right? Like really kind of this tendency to be conscious and aware of people. Not a bad message, right? Like I said that a lot of times these dishonoring P's are really beautiful components about us or our personality. They just tend to go a little bit too far. They don't have to be the disabling P's. Sometimes just a little bit too far is where they become dishonoring. This next pattern is the tendency to please. Now, I do believe that it's true that life does feel a lot better for all of us when the people around us are happy, right? Like when things are going along and life is fairly smooth and we're all feeling kind of good with each other. I don't know many people who love to function in chaos, conflict, and tension, right? Like that's most people don't really prefer that state. You probably have a natural preference towards things going fairly well and smoothly. The question becomes where it tips in that scale, where it becomes dishonoring, is what lengths are you willing to go to make sure other people are happy? How far are you willing to bend to make sure that everyone and everything is okay? You don't necessarily have to mitigate their anger. You just do all of these caretaking behaviors in order to really acknowledge and make sure other people are well taken care of. Our world benefits from kindness, right? The idea that people being thoughtful, respectful and considerate. Someone did something so sweet for me the other day, so thoughtful that it almost brought tears to my eyes. So the idea of thoughtfulness, basic human kindness and consideration is amazing energy. I would absolutely applaud that to the end of the days, right? However, pleasers tend to take things too far. The dishonoring aspect comes is that this goes beyond kindness and human decency. If you have this pattern, you are overly accommodating and potentially even sacrificial. Maybe you are someone who always puts a smile on when you actually should be putting your foot down, right? There's like you over-tolerate things in order to please other people. You please to the extent that you actually are displeasing or maybe even certainly dishonoring or potentially even harming yourself. This becomes unhealthy and taking a good thing just too far. People often associate, this is very interesting, especially having written misunderstood, people will often mistake having boundaries, the ability to say no, to decide according to their commodities. Do I have the time, energy, and effort to really invest in this? Oftentimes what I find is that people are like, oh, like, I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be bitchy, right? I don't want to be insensitive to other people. I assure you, my friends, that being boundaried and functioning from a full cup is none of those things. It is not your responsibility to make sure that everyone and everything is okay. You do not need to take care of everyone and everything. It is, however, your responsibility. Remember, I'm going to hand you the tool of self-responsibility to lead from the inside out. So many of these patterns, this is a show about authenticity. So many of these patterns are about the outside in, what other people think, what other people want. This is your opportunity to really begin to assess, like, how can I start to function in the world from the inside out so that you actually can be capable of healthier, happier relationships. This pleasing pattern, do you tend to be someone who is a chronic apologizer? I'm sorry, please forgive me. I didn't mean to, right? Like, are you showing up with that apologizing energy when you owe no apology? Do you say yes when every single ounce of you just simply wants to scream no? Have you confused self-care with selfish? Right? People really mistake those, and pleasers don't know that there's even a difference. If they take 5 seconds to take care of themselves, they often will assume that they're being very, very selfish. Do you feel resentful, unappreciated, and undervalued? If this is the case for you, it is very likely that you are struggling with this pleasing pattern. Right? So something, just a lot of food for thought. This might be a pattern that is very well ingrained. You do it in order to be kind and nice and thoughtful and helpful. Please, if you can find balance to that pattern, again, I support that. I validate that. I would join you in that. It's just when it becomes sacrificial and harmful to you that it becomes this dishonoring P. So there's another one for your list. The idea that you are someone who is a pleaser. Okay. One more before we take our last break. The next pattern is pitying. And this too has two separate threads to it. Do you tend to be someone who wallows? Are you a glass half empty or that dreaded Eeyore energy? You know, you're kind of like dragging yourself. Like you were the person who is going to find the one cloud in the sky. Now, I need to do another timeout and I need to wave my little BS flag here a little bit. This is not about grief. I work with people so often who feel almost ashamed to deal with the pain or the trauma they have in their life. They don't ever want to I don't want to have pity for myself. You will never see me dismiss or shame someone who needs to feel the pain or the loss of something that they have experienced. I believe we live in a society who wants to shop through, drink through, medicate through actual, real, legitimate pain. That is not what I am referring to here. I would actually really support and applaud you for walking through a grief process. What I am talking about are the people in the world who really just have a hard time finding the positive. Like, they live in the complaint department. And like I said, they are the one who's going to find the one thing that's wrong and kind of focus so much on how hard their life is. If you are someone who tends to wallow, feel sorry for yourself, and you can't seem to move on your way through some of your pain and some of the experience that you've had, you might have the DHP, the dishonoring P of pitying. I'll give you an example. I worked with a man named Marty, and he was having a really, really hard time dealing with his mother. She had raised him as a single parent and had been separated from Marty's father since the time Marty was 2 months old. Now, 28 years later, Marty could barely have a conversation. I mean, I laugh, but it's actually really, it's terribly sad. Marty, 28 years later, as a grown man, he could not have a conversation with his own mom without some mention of her being abandoned all those years ago. The essence of every single conversation was really about, well, because your father left. Well, when your father left, 28 years later, right? We're not talking about 2 days later, 8 8 months later, of which she might still be trying to work through her pain. We're talking about 28 years later. Can you imagine nursing a wound for all of those years and still allowing it to be even the topic of conversation, right? The topic of most conversation. Marty's mom was most likely a wallower, someone not only stuck in the problem, but stuck in the story of the problem, right? It was like this repeat rehearse energy that she continued to do over and over. Wallowers often complain, and complaining may have its time and place. Now, I talk about that in the Art of Effective Communication. Complaining can be a really powerful way to get perspective or to vent a little bit so that you can externalize a problem enough to grab a hold of it. The issue becomes, though, is that if you are someone who is a wallower, you're a chronic complainer, it keeps your eyeballs focused on the problem and it moves you further and further away from solution. We talk extensively in this show about self-responsibility, and wallowers tend to dismiss their responsibility because they feel like they've been victimized in a lot of ways and they haven't been able to move through that. Your thoughts become magnified by the negative things that have happened, and it tends to be the only thing you can look at or talk about in your world. It's really heavy energy and it's hard to be around. Most healthy people can't, it's like being around, you know, a toxic environment or cigarette smoke. It's like healthy people can only tolerate it for so long. That's one leg of pitying. And similar to performing, this one has kind of like the separate leg to it. Maybe you don't have a tendency to feel sorry for yourself. Maybe instead you tend to feel sorry for others. Now, again, I'm going to make a little disclaimer. This is not about empathy. I just said our world needs more in terms of kindness and consideration of other people. Pitying has a very different level of energy. It's not about empathy, care, or concern. Pitying others has more to do with like dismissing or degrading other people's experience. It's like feeling sorry for them, and it actually robs people of their dignity. Pitying others is a very disempowering, discrediting type of energy towards them. It also gets them stuck in their problem and the victimhood of what's happened, where empathy is that middle ground, and that's an acknowledgement of a situation and then a focus on validation and compassion, not on the victim mentality. I would encourage you to really watch your pitying mentality and to realize that it's not helpful for anyone, not for you if you're on the side and not for others. So there we have more of the dishonoring P's: placating, pretending, personalizing, perfecting, procrastinating, proving, performing, pursuing, pleasing, and then finally pitying. Whew, there you go. You have 10 dishonoring P's. Now, when we come back, I want to offer you a little bit of history, help you understand where these patterns came from, and help you remember, I said we're going to tune into one of those final patterns as I introduce you to one that ruffles some feathers. We need to take a break, but when we come back, we are going to finish up and wrap up with these DHPs, and I hand you a few more tools to deal with. As we come back, we're going to talk more on the Ally Effect, authentically living life your way, with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent networks have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about.
I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Okay, we're back here on The Allie Effect, authentically living life your way with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. We are coming around home as we kind of bring this whole series, the DHPs, the dishonoring Ps, of how you've been showing up in the world. I want to offer a little bit of history, where these patterns came from, like what is all this information? I've been at this work a really long time, and I offer life coaching courses where people come in live to my office. And one of the courses I offer is called Radical Self-Care, in which women gather together one time a month for 12 months. And originally, what started to happen is I was identifying these P patterns, these Ps, and there were seven of them. And they just kind of came to me, and I presented them to them, and I wrote them on the board and all kinds of stuff. And as the course continued, so did the number of Ps that we were starting to recognize, certainly in ourselves and in one another. And eventually, those seven turned into 16 different Ps, right? Like, man, that's a lot. 16 of these Ps that these women started to recognize, and we added to the list. We don't have time to cover all 16, but in case you're curious, you can absolutely check out that course on my website, The Dishonoring Ps. You can head over to allisonblythe.com. I offer you a full assessment that for you to take and identify which of these patterns really are you dealing with on a day-to-day basis, engaging in ways that you might not even know. And then I want you to go through each of these patterns to help you recognize how you've been working against yourself. Remember, my goal is to educate, equip, and empower. And that course is a great way to help you understand how you've been working against yourself. So all of those DHPs are covered, all 16 of them. Before we finish up today, I want to make sure we cover a bunch of different things in helping you realize that we've covered 10 of them, 10 of those different patterns. And before we go, I want to make sure we cover that last one. I said that we were sitting in a group and I was writing down those Ps. And as I was sitting there, we were going through each of them, one of the ladies in the group very playfully chimed in, "Hey, wait a minute. What about prostituting?" And man, we all erupted in laughter and chatter. And it actually was, it was great fun as we were kind of like thinking about that, adding that to all of those Ps. But later that night, I had kind of this gnawing sense about this pattern. I was like, dang, she might be really onto something. You know, now, again, I said to you before you just click off and you're like, oh, I'm done with that, I'm not going to listen to this, I really challenge you to listen a little bit longer. I started to think a lot about this pattern of prostituting, and not in the ways that most people might traditionally think about it, but in a way that potentially you have sold yourself out. At some point in life, this is a pattern that is actually far more common for people than you might actually realize. Potentially not in the traditional sense that you might think of. Maybe you've not sold yourself out in that way, but I challenge you to think about ways you have ever gone against your own morals and your own values, sold yourself out for the sake of attention, approval, acceptance, maybe being liked, being chosen, making sure someone doesn't leave, getting money, getting a promotion for some type of reward, to not be alone, to not be left, right? I mean, there's so many reasons why there's times when we sell ourselves out. I want you to consider the definition one more time, dictionary.com, but put oneself or one's talent to an unworthy or corrupt use for the purpose or sake of financial, personal or financial gain, right? So basically you sacrifice yourself in some way for personal or financial gain. As we kind of clear that lens and take it away from the traditional sense of how you may be thinking about this prostituting pattern, where people have really stood back and realized like, oh my gosh, you know, I've sold myself out for this, or I've sold myself out for that. I went against my morals. Like, what do you think? Can you see yourself? Now, if you can let go of the stigma and loosen your grip a little bit about that rigid sense of what this definition might mean for you, can you recognize the ways that you potentially have prostituted yourself out that has nothing to do with sexualized behavior? Or maybe it does have something to do with your body or your sexuality, but there's never been an actual exchange of money. So you've never really considered it to be prostituting. Maybe you have used your body in ways that have gone against your morals and your values, what you believe and what serves you best. Maybe you've betrayed yourself and gone against what even feels safe. Certainly you would feel insulted if someone suggested that this is a pattern of yours, but if you look deep down inside, maybe you can see you sold out your mind, your body, your spirit, your morals. Now, there's no judgment in this. This is not better or worse than the others. This is not about shining light on any type of shame. This is really about, remember the classic tool, this is really about awareness, ways that you are moving yourself further and further away from authenticity and getting off track so that you can be conscious of this. Remember, my mission is to educate, equip, and empower. And if any of these, we've now gone through so many of these DHPs, these are new points of accountability for you to recognize how you've been interrupting your own path of authenticity. We have spent 3 episodes prior to this DHP series, we spent 3 episodes talking about the SOS toolbox. I offered you 10 dynamic tools designed to help you establish a solid sense of self. I introduced that toolbox first so that as we start to shine light on these patterns and you're starting to recognize like, oh my gosh, I do some of these, I do all of these. You will have tools to be able to draw reference from and you can go to your toolbox. There are going to be 2 that I point you to directly in this. We've already talked about self-awareness. That's 1. 2 others, self-honesty and self-responsibility. These are 2 tools intended to empower you along your walk of authenticity. Self-honesty, taking a good hard look at what you're doing and why you're doing it. I've already challenged you to be aware. Self-awareness allows you to pay attention to what you're doing and what's happening around you and inside you. You will automatically be better equipped when you have these tools secured in your belt. But self-honesty takes it a step further. It helps you eliminate the excuses, the BS you've been trying to play yourself, the minimizing, the justifying, and ways that you've been engaging in this behavior against yourself, getting real as you move into the next tool of self-responsibility. If you remember during that SOS episode, I really was the bearer of bad news when I challenged you with the reality that there is no magical fairy. There's no hero coming in to save your day or to rescue you in any way. Self-responsibility allows you to get real honest about what you're doing and why you're doing it and starts to empower you to take full responsibility for your behavior, your thoughts, the words that you're using, the boundaries that you're asserting, the things that you're tolerating and what you're allowing, and even the behaviors you're engaging in. And if you need some more tools, like those are some pretty equipping tools, but if you need even more, I will really shine some light on self-compassion. We do these things oftentimes very subconsciously. We're not conscious of the ways that they might be harming or moving us further and further away from authenticity. I would encourage you to use the tool of self-compassion, that we can all use a little bit more understanding and support so that we can be more responsible. 2 more tools that I would tune you into, self-referencing. That is the tool where you start to look within, trusting yourself as your own best guide and point of reference. These are patterns that tend to get you focused on others. Self-referencing is the tool when you draw within to kind of assess, what do I think? What works for me? Okay, self-referencing is another tool. And then the last one is just a big old dose of self-respect. If what you're doing does not align you with your highest and best, I would really encourage you to practice this tool of self-respect. If I really had full respect for myself, what would I be doing? What wouldn't I be doing? These are all intended to equip and empower you in authentically living life your way. If you have seen any pieces and parts of these patterns, or maybe, like I said, you've been plastered all over each of them, I will encourage you to check out that course on my website, The Dishonoring P's, so that you can get some support and tune back into those SOS episodes. All is not lost, right? Awareness doesn't mean that it's all over. It just means that we're paying attention to it. So if you want to be more equipped, go back to that SOS. All 3 of those episodes are really empowering, and they're handing you these tools to help you build that solid sense of self, right? My friends, you are welcome to contact me at any point. just go to my website, allisonblythe.com, send me an email, and I'll get back in touch with you as soon as I possibly can. And that daily boost, if some of the pieces and parts really you could use a boost throughout the day, join me on any social media format at Allison Blythe Life Coach. And I want to thank you deeply for taking your time, one of the most precious commodities there possibly can ever be. And you've invested your time here on The Ally Effect, authentically living life your way. I hope that all of this information has been supportive in you walking your walk. And I'm really grateful that you were here. You can join me the first and third Thursday of every single month right here on Transformation Talk Radio. Next time on The Ally Effect, we're going to continue this walk, some real talk about authenticity and how I could better help support you in educating, equipping, and empowering and authentically living life your way. I look forward to seeing you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to The Ally Effect with Allison Blythe. The moment you decide to take control of your own well-being, you start the journey of authenticity. Tune in next time for more empowering conversations and practical tools to help you shed your fear, worry, comparison, and less-than beliefs. Stick with us as you step into the driver's seat and head off onto the road of success and happiness. Your best life awaits.